Joining me now is Dr. Dean Bloomberg. He's the Chief of Pediatric Infectious Diseases at UC Davis. Dean, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to start because we have seen some headlines this week about avian flu, an outbreak at one producer in Michigan, a different producer in Texas. These seem to be state-by-state outbreaks, but how concerned should the general U.S. population be from your perspective as an infectious disease doctor?
Right now, this is a very early signal, and we've known about bird flu for almost 150 years now. It's in wild birds, and so it can get everywhere. I think what's different now is they're detecting it in some cattle herds. And the question I have is, how widespread is this? Is it just a few cattle being infected, or is this going to be a lot of cattle infected? And will this affect their health and their populations? We know that with bird flu previously, with some outbreaks, it really affected the chicken and egg producing populations, and that affected consumer prices. And we don't know if that's going to happen with cattle.
That's a huge, huge concern, especially with inflation already hitting so many grocery bills. But when you think about getting back to the infectious disease piece of this, how rare is it for a bird flu to infect a mammal like a cow? And I think we also saw a report this week that someone who had interacted with an infected cow has become infected themselves. How rare is that type of transmission?
Well, we've documented transmission from bird flu to other mammals previously. So seals, dogs, cats, bears have been infected. Cattle, this is new, having cattle infected. And again, it just depends on the extent of that. And then the transmission from cattle to humans, again, we don't know if that's something that's rare that occurs from people with very close contact, or if that's something that can become more widespread. Because we really haven't had that documented before.
So how concerned are you at this point as you just survey the country and survey the transmission patterns that we're seeing?
Right now it's early days, and so I think we need more data to have some surveillance data to find the extent of the disease and transmission within cattle. There's only been a couple cases of cattle to human transmission, and there's been no sustained human to human transmission. So right now, in terms of thinking about the general public's health, there really is no threat to the general public. For those who work in the industry, there might be a threat, especially those who are working with ill or dead animals.
How would you categorize the CDC's ability to respond to this, either in terms of vaccine readiness or treatment readiness?
Yeah, so it's a two-pronged approach. First, there's, in terms of cattle, there's the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and so they're doing the surveillance to see the extent of disease. And then the CDC can also sequence these viruses to see how they've mutated. And there is an FDA-approved H5N1 avian flu vaccine that's out there. It's not in widespread use because there is no outbreaks yet in humans, but we have that in our back pocket, and I find that reassuring.
Now, you deal with the pediatric population. Have you heard from parents who are seeing these headlines and concerned about their kids?
Certainly parents are going to be concerned, especially parents of kids who are 4-H or living in areas where they might have interactions with cattle, with livestock. And so that's another opportunity to reinforce appropriate hygiene among those to prevent transmission not only of bird flu, but other potential infectious diseases.
I was going to say, what is your advice for people who live in rural areas or for people who live on a farm and their kids are interacting with farm animals?
Yeah, well, in general, you know, hygiene is obviously important. So hand washing, wearing masks if there's any aerosolization of any potentially infectious material. And certainly anybody who's around sick or dead animals, they should be wearing full PPE. And so that would include goggles, N95 masks or the equivalent, gown, gloves, shoe coverings, as well as head coverings.
We are all familiar with these terms and these practices as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Do you find that the patient population that you're speaking to on a day-to-day basis is more concerned about this because of what we went through with COVID? Are we all on heightened alert right now?
What I find is that people are just very aware of the potential actions they need to take. So, for example, I can say something like PPE, and I don't have to explain what that means. Everybody knows what that means now because of COVID and because everybody was searching for masks and gowns and gloves previously. So I think there is a greater awareness of how diseases may be transmitted.
I had another source talk to me about the consumption of milk and how if people are drinking, and she said people and didn't really specify ages, pasteurized milk, they're okay. It was raw milk that she advised that they don't drink. Looking at the pediatric population, as we look at the types of animals that are infected with this, what is your advice for how parents should be shopping at the grocery store and feeding their kids, knowing that this is an infection that's spreading?
Yeah, so any sick or ill animal, should be culled from the herd, and we shouldn't have that meat or any kind of animal products. In terms of milk, if it's potentially contaminated with avian flu, pasteurization will kill that virus, and so there is no risk of infection. So the risk is with raw or unpasteurized milk, and so we do recommend that children do not consume raw or unpasteurized milk for any reason. Because it can potentially transmit not only avian flu, but it can potentially transmit many other dangerous infections.
And for kids who were old enough to understand what was going on with COVID and now see these headlines, they might have questions, they might feel concerned, maybe disproportionately so. What is your advice to parents for explaining bird flu headlines such as the one we might put on this video?
So it's important to talk to children in age-appropriate language and to respond to their questions and not assume that they want more information that they're not asking. So a lot of times what we've seen is parents tend to over-explain things and they're assuming that their children have more dangerous questions. So a child might ask about bird flu and a parent can like end up down a rabbit hole and end up talking about how they might be killed by bird flu or something like that. And that's not the question the child had. That can be really scary for the child. So respond in age-appropriate, simple terms to the questions your child actually has at hand.
So, what are you watching for now? And how much longer do we think we'll see this dominate the headlines? Will this get worse before it gets better?
There has been some indication that there's been several cattle herds that have been infected. So the next thing that I'm looking for is to see the extent of the penetration into cattle herds and how widespread this is in the US and maybe in other countries too. So there should be increased surveillance being performed at the present time. After that, the next thing that would occur would be then transmission to humans, from cattle to humans. And we might see more of that if there is more widespread penetration into the cow herds. And then to see how the herds handle that. So, in terms of if they're getting sick and if this will affect producers.
And if we do see more human infections, I imagine the headlines will seem more alarming. What is your advice to people in that case, if 2 or 3 weeks from now we're starting to see more humans sick with this?
Human-to-human transmission is incredibly rare. It has occurred, but it's incredibly rare. And there has been no sustained human-to-human transmission. So I don't anticipate that that's going to be occurring. So I think if there are more human cases, they should be confined to people who work within the industry. And then the industry can take measures to make sure these people are protected so that they don't get infected.
Is there anything else that's on your mind as it relates to bird flu? Anything I did not ask, but is important for our viewers to understand?
Well, in addition to having the vaccine that's available to protect people, if people do get infected with bird flu, the antivirals continue to work. There has been no development of resistance. So oseltamivir or Tamiflu is effective against this strain. And so even for infected people, they can be treated.
Well, speaking of treatment, if someone is living on a farm and thinks that they have interacted with a sick cow or bird, what are the symptoms that will develop and that people should be looking out for to know that they have caught this?
It's very difficult to tell because the symptoms can range from anything to a mild cough, to red eyes, to something that resembles influenza, such as fever, cough, muscle aches, and even if in severe cases, seizures, convulsions. So they may occur. So it's very difficult to tell. And so most cases have been diagnosed when people have become ill, when they've been in contact with ill or dead animals. So that the doctors know that they should be tested for that.
So symptoms develop. It's like anything else. Symptoms develop. You go to the doctor, you get the diagnosis, and then you take Tamiflu.
You take Tamiflu, and then in addition, the doctor would be making sure that you are isolated so that there, even though the risk of transmission to other people is rare, just to minimize any chance of that. So when you do go to the doctor, you know, make sure you mention that you've been around animals. That's an important clue for the doctor to know what to test for.
That is very important advice. Dr. Bloomberg, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.